T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here he is, one of the best baseball writers out there, Mark Feinstein. Mark, Joe and Evan, how are you?
Hi, Mark.
I'm good, fellas. How you doing?
Wonderful.
First off, tell us about the big baseball writers dinner that you guys have every year. I know it's coming up.
Yeah, it's this Saturday night at the Hilton in the city. Should be a great lineup on the dais. We got all the MVPs, Cy Youngs. Obviously, DeGrom will be a big fan favorite at the dinner this year. Acuna, Otani, so we got all those guys coming. And then David Wright's going to be honored as a toast of the town, which obviously big story this year. Be nice to have David Wright there for, recognize his career. Kenny Singleton, Sandy Alderson, Brian Cashman, Brandon Nimmo, whole lot of guys from New York going to be at the dinner. It's always a real nice night.
Mm. No Sonny Gray, though.
No Sonny Gray.
He's at Cincinnati.
I would be remiss not to see NYBBWAA.com for tickets and more information.
Very cool. How do you think they did on the return for Sonny? I mean, we obviously all knew they were trading him. Cashman told the world right after the season they were trading him. How do you think they did?
I think they did fine. I don't know a whole lot about the prospect. I've talked to a few scouts. They like him. I think when you look at adding a draft pick and adding a guy who was a second round pick last year for a guy who, like you said, everybody knew they were going to trade him. So they take away a little bit of their own leverage when they tell the world that they're going to get rid of the guy. It reminded me of, it was a long time ago, but about 15 years ago, when the Yankees acquired Aaron Boone on trade deadline day and they still had Robin Ventura sitting on their roster. And the entire world knew they had to get rid of Robin Ventura. And they ended up, Cashman ended up getting two usable players, Scott Proctor and Bubba Crosby, who were on the roster for a long time. So it's interesting to see when a guy can actually get a decent return for a player that, the other 29 teams all know is on the block and is going to get moved.
All right, well, what's going to, before we get to the Hall of Fame, what's going to happen with the Machados, the Harpers? I mean, what's going on with that, Mark?
I assume we'll just wait until next year and they'll just be free until next year as well. They're going to sign. I would assume that they would sign before spring training starts. But, let's not forget that Scott Boras brought J.D. Martinez into spring training last year as a free agent, signed with the Red Sox in the first week of spring training. So he's shown the willingness to wait if he doesn't get the deal he wants. I think it's more likely that Harper goes, into spring training without a team than Machado. I think Machado probably gets done first, but, this is a bit of a waiting game for both guys. It almost seems like neither of them wants to be the guy that signs first. And the truth is that if the offer is out there that they like from Philly, you'd think you'd jump at it because that's the one team you know is in on both guys. That seems to be serious about the money. The White Sox are in on both guys, but the offers don't seem to be quite as big as these guys are hoping for. But I keep changing my mind every week or two about where I think they're going to land. But the longer this goes on, I think the longer you have to still keep the Yankees and play for Machado, because if it's not going to be a 10-year, $325-350 million deal, and he is looking at a deal that's of a shorter term, then I think the Yankees have to at least be considered a player.
If Bryce Harper and Manny Machado aren't going to get that mega contract we all figured they were going to get 2 years ago, outside of Mike Trout, who may be a different animal, who would? Because I look at Nolan Arenado next year, Mark, and I could see what everyone's going to say. Coors Field, he's 29. We don't know what he's going to do outside of Coors Field. Everybody, they're going to plug a hole in, and no one's going to get the mega contract, right?
I think you're right. I mean, and even Trout, as great as Trout is, Trout's going to be going into, his age 30 season when he hits free agency. I'm not sure that even that. I mean, look, the Phillies, they're talking about stupid money. That's the guy they want more than anybody. He's from there. He's from South Jersey, right near Philadelphia. He's a Philly guy. I think everybody's already penciling in the Phillies of making some just absurd offer for him to bring him home. But you're right. I mean, Machado and Harper are as good and young a free agent as you've seen since A-Rod in 2001. And, A-Rod still holds the record for the biggest free agent contract. He had the 252 and then he had the 275. Stanton has the biggest contract period with his extension with the Marlins. But, Yeah, I mean, if Bryce Harper and Manny Machado at 26 aren't getting it, I don't know. I don't know who the guy is who's going to get that next huge mega contract.
Have you heard that the Yankees are eyeing a year out with Nolan Arenado? Is that going to be somebody they may be targeting a year from now?
Well, it's certainly been a popular theory. I think the Dodgers are probably eyeing him as well. You know, when they made that trade with Puig and Kemp and Alex Wood, everybody said, oh, they're clearing the deck to get Bryce Harper. But everybody that I've spoken to said that was not the intention. Next year's year, the Dodgers will potentially go out and spend big money. And whether that's Arenado, whether that's Rendon, whoever it may be, I think Arenado could be a guy the Dodgers end up targeting more than the Yankees. But look, the Yankees certainly have to be considered in the mix for Arenado next year if they don't end up signing Machado this year, because unless Miguel Andujar takes a huge step forward this year defensively, you'd be silly not to look at Arenado next year.
Mm. Talking baseball with Mark Feinstein. Now, with these such stuff going on with the free agency and seemingly that they're trying to keep the contracts down, the prices down, do you see a work stoppage in a couple of years?
Well, we're still a couple, 2-3 years away from that possibility. I hate to try to predict those things because a lot can happen in the next 2 or 3 years. I think both sides probably realize there's a lot of work to be done to try to figure this out. And if nothing gets figured out, if this free agent situation goes into next year and all of a sudden we're looking at Arenado and Rendon and whoever else is on the market next year, DV and whoever, and saying, well, these guys aren't getting signed either and it's February and this happens, 3-4 straight years, it's hard to imagine that something won't happen. But we're still far enough away that I think both sides can make some adjustments and figure some things out. Cause I think, work stoppage is the worst case scenario for the sport in general. We remember how long it took, the sport to sort of get its legs back under it after the 94 strike. And I just don't think anybody wants to see that again.
It's amazing to think about because the 94 strike killed me. I was 11 years old, so it was like baseball going away in the middle of the season was ridiculous. It was sacrilegious to lose a World Series. But it's been so long that most people now, not most people, but a good chunk of this new generation has no idea what a baseball work stoppage is. It's been so long since that happened in 94, and I'm saying this because it scares me that it's been so long that maybe they forget the damage that can be inflicted on this sport when you do close down shop, because 1994 is a long time ago now.
Yeah, but I think the people who run the sport, it's still fresh enough in their minds to know the kind of damage it can do. And, it's funny, I remember this is going to be my 19th year covering Major League Baseball. There's only been one even threat of a work stoppage, that 2002.
I remember that.
They came to the deadline and they made a deal right at that deadline where the players were about to strike. And I remember that morning sitting in the Yankees hotel in Toronto, and nobody had any idea, including the players, what was going to happen, whether they were going to the ballpark that day or whether they were just going to stay in the hotel and not go anywhere. And that's 17 years ago. It's been a really sort of great run of labor peace. And I think, everybody who loves this sport has to just hope that, that continues through 2021 and beyond.
All right. Now, besides Mariano today, who else is getting in the Hall of Fame?
I think it's Halliday and Edgar. Those two guys seem to be, sort of clearly trending in the direction of election. The Ryan Thibodeau, not Mr. Tibbs on Twitter, who tracks these things, I think both those guys are over 90% on the public ballots right now. You'd certainly think those guys, the most interesting one to me today is Mussina. He was 63% last year or 60% last year. And usually once somebody gets to that level, they make the jump at some point. I don't know that it'll be this year. But I think, I think he certainly, if not this year, next year could be the year for him, but Mo, Edgar and Halliday is my guess.
Hey, that's what we did. We did our own voting around here. It's 60 people from the Fan and CBS Sports, and that's what we got. We got those three guys in. But Mussina, you just talked about. You watched him. You covered him, I think, for a good chunk of time, right? When he was with the Yankees.
Yep, I covered him for his entire Yankee tenure.
Now, we'll all agree he was better as an Oriole. Obviously, that was the prime of his career. That's when he was the ace of that staff. But did you view him as a Hall of Famer? Just watching him, without diving into the numbers, did you feel as if he was a Hall of Famer?
I did. I watched him, and he was a guy that I would look forward to watching pitch. You always seem to see something different with him, and I would always really get be impressed by his outings when the team had hit him hard the time before. And he would go out there and he would just take a different game plan out there. He was one of the smartest pitchers that I've been around, that I've watched. And, you know, I know the knock against him is he never won a Cy Young. He didn't win 20 until last year. He never won a World Series. But, you know, I feel like he would have won the World Series twice. And ironically, Mo is getting in today. Mariano Rivera cost Mike Mussina two World Series, most likely. You know, if he saves Game 7 against the Diamondbacks, Mussina wins the World Series. If he saves any, either one of those games against the Red Sox in 04, the Yankees probably cruise against the Cardinals in the World Series, and all of a sudden Moose has two rings. So the World Series thing, I just don't buy. The Cy Young thing, I mean, look, Mussina was never the best pitcher in his league. He was in an era against Randy Johnson, against Pedro Martinez. But not being Randy Johnson or Pedro Martinez doesn't mean you're not a Hall of Famer. To me, Mussina gets the same hit that Tim Raines got for all those years, which was
he's not Ricky.
You weren't Ricky Henderson.
Right, right. Okay.
But if you're the second best leadoff hitter of all time, you're still a Hall of Famer. Mussina, to me, was the fourth or fifth best pitcher in his league for pretty much his entire career. There were years he was better. I think he had, what, 9 top 5 or top 6 finishes in the Cy Young. He was consistently excellent. And, you know, when I look at a guy like Bly Levin, like Jack Morris, I think Mussina had a better career than those guys, even though Morris, you know, obviously had the postseason, you know, the three aces of, you know, being an ace of a three World Series teams. I think Mussina's career as a whole was better.
All right, how about the steroid guys? Do you ever see them getting in?
You know, I do. I think they've got, what, 4 years left after this year, I believe, and they're certainly trending in the direction of it, and I think part of it is not that people are necessarily changing their mind, but I think you're getting an influx of younger voters who came up watching baseball in that era and just don't have the same sort of, they're not offended by it clearly as much as some of the older voters, who many of whom are losing their vote because they don't cover the game anymore. So I think that will help guys like Clemens and Bonds. I think the fact that there have also been guys who have been inducted to the Hall of Fame in the last, you know, 5-10 years, who a lot of people suspect probably used PEDs at some point in their career also. And some people say, well, if these guys are in, why wouldn't these guys be in? And, you know, once one gets in, if Clemens and or Bonds gets in, and I always find it really odd that anybody would vote for one of those guys and not the other. And yet we
it
see
happens.
In the tracker, there's a difference. Right now on that tracker, Clemens has 71.7% and Bonds has 71.2%.
Well, that makes no
one
sense.
One guy. I don't understand that at all. If you're going to vote for the steroid guys, how do you not vote for both of those guys?
I actually get Bonds yes, no to Clemens. I don't get yes to Clemens and no to Bonds. And the only reason, and I haven't, when I did our ballot, I voted for both of them, and so did Joe. So we're both putting both in. But with Bonds, I guess you have Game of Shadows. If you want to use that as documentation of proof, you know when he started using steroids. You have an idea of when it happened. It happened after Sosa. It happened after McGuire, where he said, oh, these guys want to use steroids and become stars? I'm so much better. Let me show them. We don't have that with Clemens. I think there's more uncertainty with Clemens, and maybe that leads to not voting for him, I guess. But I don't know how you go the other way with it, where you say yes to Clemens and no to Bonds. How?
Yeah, I don't see how you say no to either of them if you're willing to vote for PED guys. You know, Barry Bonds is the best baseball player I've ever seen in my life. Roger Clemens may not be the best pitcher I've ever seen in my life, but he's certainly top three. And I think, you know, to me, as I fill out my ballot, and, you know, this is my third year of voting, and I had to make my decision of, do I vote for the PED guys or do I not? And at the end of the day, I just said, I don't know who did and who didn't for sure. And if there are people in the Hall who have used that, I can't keep these guys out. And to me, filling out a Hall of Fame ballot for the best players ever to play the game and not putting Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds on my ballot just seemed it seemed silly to me. So I vote for both of those guys and some of the other PED guys as well.
Mm. I like that.
I was looking at
I'm a big PED guy, Mark, big time.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
I do them myself if it would help me hit the golf ball farther, you know? I'm in. Where do I get HGH? You know what I'm saying?
I'm right there with you. I can use about another 20 or 30 yards on my drive.
Right? You know the deal.
Next year, I was already looking at the 2020 ballot, and there's a few guys that are not Hall of Famers, but they're interesting, to say the least. Like, here's one guy, and I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer. He's not a Hall of Famer, but his numbers are not that far off. Alfonso Soriano is eligible for the Hall of Fame. Don't think he is, but he did it 400 home runs over the course of his career, had a bunch of 30 home run seasons, stole 40 bases a couple of times. I don't view him as a Hall of Famer personally, but he's up there for eligibility. Bobby Abreu, Jason Giambi, guys like that, they're not Hall of Famers. Derek Jeter is. He's like the only guy on next year's ballot that jumps out at you. Everybody else, you could say, yeah, they had a nice career, but he's the one guy who's first ballot in the 2020 ballot. Mark.
I agree, and I think that'll actually help maybe start thinning out the ballot a little bit. We've had an interesting run here where you've had at least two first-time guys who were, if not locks, certainly near locks the last few years. And, you know, this year with Rivera and Halliday and Edgar getting in most likely, you know, if those three guys get in, that takes three spots off of most people's ballots. And really next year, there's only one new guy to add to that mix, because either look at guys like Soriano and Abreu, and they had really, really good careers. But there are guys on the bottom of this ballot who I think had better careers, and guys who I didn't vote for this year because you have the 10-man ballot. So, you know, a guy like Larry Walker, a guy like Andrew Jones, a guy like Roland, Todd Helton, they're going to get a lot of consideration. And people who left them off this year because they didn't have enough spots on their ballot may be inclined to add them next year. So I think a guy like Larry Walker could see a jump next year because of that fact alone.
There is a guy on the ballot who is better than Harold Baines next year, and he played for the same team. Paul Konerko was a better hitter than Harold Baines. He was.
Well, probably a few guys on the ballot.
Well, I know. I'm not voting for Paul Konerko. It's funny to me because there's it wasn't a lifelong White Sox because he was actually a Dodger prospect, was on the Reds. But when you think of Paul Konerko, you think of a guy who, he was on that championship team. You know, White Sox don't have exactly a lot of those.
No.
Had a really good career. Really good career. And I think pound for pound, he was better than Harold Baines. But nobody's going to argue Paul Konerko as a Hall of Famer. I'm not arguing.
No,
it.
And. Well, and the people who vote didn't argue that Harold Baines was a Hall of Famer either, for
that
matter. So, you know, the Veterans Committee put him in. I'm guessing that same Veterans Committee will put Fred McGriffin when he comes up on that ballot. But, you know, I think the Baines thing, it's interesting. The Baines thing probably locked that Edgar is going to get in this year, because people look at the two of them and say, well, if Harold Baines is in, how do you not vote for Edgar Martinez? So where he's been sort of climbing that number and getting closer and closer, now you're seeing him right now coming in at around 90% on the public ballots. So I think Baines's election by the Veterans Committee helped Edgar more. And it is interesting that Edgar Martinez will probably be up there with Harold Baines, the lesser version of himself, and Lee Smith will be up there with Mariano Rivera, the greatest of all time. So
that's true.
Even though these guys get in the Hall of Fame, they'll be standing next to guys who were there, you know, at the same position, who were far better hitters and far better pitchers.
They don't even belong on the same stage as them.
Right.
I mean, Mariano Rivera and Lee Smith, really? They have nothing in common other than the fact they both closed. I mean, Mo is an immortal, but whatever. It's not your fault. We can't blame the writers for that. So,
for one.
I got to ask you this question, Mark, before I go, okay? I'm going to hit you with this Hall of Fame question. I just want your answer, yes or no, because we, Evan and I, are big proponents of this guy. Should be in the Hall of Fame. He's not even on the ballot. The numbers tell you there's no doubt this guy's a Hall of Famer. Albert Bell.
You know, he was on the ballot before I had a vote, so I haven't dissected the numbers, but just going by when I watched him, did I think he was a Hall of Famer? Yes. I mean, he was one of the most ferocious hitters that I've ever seen. I liken him in some ways to Gary Sheffield in terms of just when that guy came up, you were terrified if he was playing against your team. You know, doubles machine, RBI machine. You know, I think his OPS was around 930.
Mm-hmm.
I would have voted for Albert Bell. You know, he had a 10-year run as one of the most dangerous hitters in the game. And I know it was right in the peak of the steroid era, and a lot of people look at those numbers a little differently. But that guy was a beast at the plate. And, yeah, I think he probably should have gotten. If he shouldn't have gotten in, he should have gotten in. He should have gotten more than a 1-year look on the ballot, or maybe he was on there for 2 years.
Right.
I think I'm looking now. He topped out at 7.7% his first year.
That's a joke.
3.5% his second year. And, you know, whether that's because he was a jerk, I don't know. There are plenty of jerks who have gotten into the Hall of Fame. So I don't know but 7.7 for his high seems like an awfully low number for
pathetic.
A guy.
Pathetic. 8 straight 100 RBI
ridiculous.
Seasons.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah, 933 career OPS, 144 career OPS plus.
Crazy.
This guy was a beast.
9 straight 100 RBI seasons. My apologies. 8 straight 30 home run seasons. Oof.
Yeah, he was really, really good.
Yeah, he was awesome. Have you heard any rumblings about the Yankees and Mets doing anything else before they get to camp, or is this... is this it when you look at these rosters, barring a Manny surprise, obviously?
Well, I mean, I think each team could still do something, you know, nothing major. I think the big moves are probably done. You know, people keep whispering about the Mets potentially, you know, getting involved with the center fielder. You know, A.J. Pollock's the guy whose name keeps coming up. But unless their price drops, I just don't see that happening. I think the bulk of what you see is what you're going to get going into spring training. But, you know, both teams have made some good moves this winter, and I think have certainly done some stuff to make themselves better going into spring training.
Mark, excellent stuff. We should check out the Baseball Writers Dinner, which is coming up over the weekend. Again, what's that website for those who want tickets?
NYBBWAA.com.
Beautiful. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Feinsohn, talking baseball with him. And next year's ballot is going to be more wide open. It's Derek Jeter and then a bunch of really good players who aren't Hall of Famers like Josh Beckett, Bobby Abreu, Jason Giambi, who's just hosed because of the
steroids. Yeah, forget him.
Would you vote for him, though?
No, not a Hall of Fame.
Really?
No.
So
that has nothing to do with steroids. I just don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Okay. No, that's fine. I don't think of him as one either, but his numbers were pretty damn good.
He was a very good player. I just don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Hey, one quick thing about Messina. Mike Messina is one of those rare guys who came to New York, and his best season was right away. He didn't need any time to adjust. His best season with the Yankees, pound for pound, postseason, what he did during the regular season, the near-perfect game at Fenway where Carl Everett broke it up, was actually his first year here after signing a big deal. He had a very good career. I don't think of him as a Hall of Famer, but no doubting, guy's a really good pitcher.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.